is December 22nd.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Sorry about that, everybody. It looks like we're having a little bit of a glitch with the system this evening. But good evening. Today is December 22nd, 2014, and it is 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and In Touch Interviews. And this evening, we have a wonderful guest. I'm so excited to be able to talk with her today. And she is Eve Wilson, and she's joining us this evening to talk about her book, Riding the Wave of Change, and some of the things that she offers and does. And I'm so excited because she is one of our writers for the guide every month, Body, Mind, Spirit Guide magazine. She publishes wonderful articles every single month, and I actually do read them every single month. So I'm excited to talk with her today and hear what she's up to for the new year, and have her here today on the show. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome you to the show, Eve.
Thanks, Courtney. Oh, I'm very honored that you read my articles every month. That's great. I'm so excited. This is a great opportunity for me to talk about my upcoming book, which is the subtitle for Riding the Wave of Change is Hope, Healing, and Spiritual Growth for Our World. And it is an amazing book, and I'm so excited that it's going to be born this year. And thank you for having me on this winter solstice evening.
Yeah, you know, here in Michigan, around this time of year, we usually expect some snow, but we actually didn't get any this year for the solstice. So that's a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it certainly fits with the trend of winters lately, strange waves of cold and warm and cold again. And this winter solstice, for you guys who are not totally clear of what that means, is the longest night of the year. And it actually was last night, and yet we often think of winter solstice as the 22nd. Some people say the 21st. So I love it. It's one of my favorite times of the year because, to me, it is a coming home to the light within ourselves. When the light outside is low and it's cold or wet, you know, whatever it is out there, we sometimes miss the sun that, you know, warms us and cheers us up and gives us energy. But in truth, as we grow and evolve into more of our true selves, we increasingly rely on the light within our own souls to support us. And knowing that that light is also all around us, but knowing it within us when it's darker out, we can sort of fan those flames of our own soul.
Well, I thought that's very beautifully put, and I love the way that you worded that, you know, we're finding the light, you know, within ourselves and so forth. You know, me and you, I know, had a little bit of a discussion a couple weeks ago about Yule, because I mentioned that today is also considered Yule, and you asked me about that, but, you know, I get that question all the time, what is that? And you just worded it perfectly.
It's just a different name for solstice. It's a festival, though. It's more of a festival than solstice is usually thought of, the celebration of winter. Yeah, and, you know, the whole idea of ascension dovetails very strongly with this season of the year, at least at this phase where we're at in ascension, I should say, that where we're at in our evolution on the planet. And some of our listeners may not be familiar with the idea of ascension, which is what the book is about, Riding the Waves of Change. And I thought that I might, if it was okay with you, Courtney, read a paragraph out of the first chapter of the book, because I think that it succinctly explains what it is that we're going to be talking about.
Wonderful. Go for it.
Okay. The title of this first chapter is You Are Ascending, and this isn't the first paragraph, but it says, the evolution of life we are experiencing now is as significant for life on Earth as when the first land creatures emerged from the primordial swamp. Beneath the apparently negative evolutionary indicators of our present age, which include global warming, overpopulation, limited resources, and damage to the environment due to human technology, there is a true evolution of soul. This deeper evolution has always been the underlying reason for life. This book is about the positive aspect of evolution for planet and soul, which is called ascension. Ascension is the journey by which we emerge from the swamp of our lower energies of hatred, fear, and destructive behavior, and evolve into our true potential of union with our own higher intelligence, purpose, and love.
Wonderful. I totally agree with you on that point. You know, I love the title, Riding the Wave of Change, because, you know, most of us feel that we're always going through change. What inspired you to write this book?
My work as a healer has been evolving for almost 30 years now. Actually, longer than that if you go back to when I first started, but when I professionally. And somewhere along the way, about 10 years ago, we started really, actually longer than that now, it's probably closer to 15 years, we started really seeing indication that we were being led to understand that healing is really about the evolution of soul. It's really about how we are eternal spiritual beings, and we have, as a part of that oneness that many call God, we have been evolving souls and bodies and planets and the universe as tools, vehicles, if you will, for the expression of our true eternal oneness. So that oneness really wanted to manifest in many individual life forms, but not exactly in the way that we've been experiencing it as a permanent state of affairs, but that what we've been going through up until now in our evolution has been descending out of oneness into individuality, and that we have actually sort of like the season and the sun at this time of the year has reached its sort of darkest point or the lowest ebb of warmth and light. We have, as a evolutionary process, reached that point also, and that we are now, even though it may not seem like it, moving into a higher vibration, ascending into a place where we can experience what we really created all of this for, rather than sort of feeling stuck in the swamp, to use my metaphor that I read just now. And it's sort of like that with the solstice, that this is the longest night of the year. This is, in a sense, the farthest we get from the sun. And yet we still have months ahead of us where it's going to get colder and darker, seem darker. It's actually going to be getting lighter, a little bit lighter every day. And as we have sort of hit the bottom of the swamp and are rising back up into the fresh air and the light and in the unity of truth, we also are having to go through this change where we're shedding the old identity that we built through the first period of our evolution. As we ascend, we have to let go of that and reclaim our truth, but doing so not as all one thing, but as many individuals, the sovereign authority of what I think of as our own unique facet of God within our body and soul. And that gives us this beautiful experience of experiencing the intelligence and love of that oneness in all creation. And so I was guided through my healing work to understand a lot and increasingly about why life is the way that it is. And in writing this book, I really wanted to help people to find that truth and that hope and the courage to ride out this process of letting go of what we have known in order to be born into a new day, a new experience. And it's a process. It's one that's been in process real actively since the 1800s, and even more so since the turn of the century, and even more so since December of 2012. We have had these sort of landmarks that have said, okay, you know, it's time, we're moving forward. And that's the way that it is. It isn't a simple step. It's a series of steps. It's a complex evolution, and it's confusing for people. People go back and forth between feeling hopeful and feeling frightened. And so this book is for all of you who wonder, you know, what's it all about, where are we going, and how do we get there, and how can we do it with a little bit more comfort and confidence and hope.
Well, I think that's beautiful that you're writing this and you're sharing it with the community and with everyone, because, you know, you very much summed it up. I had somebody tell me the other day that this time of year is the darkest time of year. It seems like everyone kind of, you know, goes through a little bit of a dark period, not just because of the winter solstice, but, you know, the holidays and so forth. So that this is the time of year that we should be looking within ourselves and focusing on ourselves and our higher beings. And I feel like that is maybe one of the goals that you are trying to create or accomplish by putting your words out there and trying to help people understand that.
Yeah, and to help them to know who they really are, not just theoretically, but to give them tools to access that inner light. So the book can be for people who just want to conceptually understand it. It's full of stories and visions and beautiful art and dreams and poetry and facts and information. And we use the Kabbalah, the healing Kabbalah, as Archangel Michael gave to me directly and for my healing work. And we have a beautiful new version of the images for the book that create the Kabbalah for the book that are being created by a very gifted young artist. And I'm excited to expose her to the community as well, because she's quite brilliant. And to introduce people to these things in such a way that it's kind of, Penny Golden described it as a song. She said, this book is like a song. She said, it's beautiful. You know, because there's so much information that I have, I didn't want it to be dry or overwhelming. So it's a really fun read. Full of, as I said, stories and visions and real experiences. These are true stories and true experiences, true visions and dreams, and tools and information about life that helps you to see things more from a God's eye point of view. Like, oh, there's a reason for this. Oh, this is all good. And, you know, we want to say that. We all, you know, say, oh, it's all good, you know, and we believe that. But sometimes it's nice to have particulars. My students love to hear my stories. So it'll be fun for them. There's a whole lot of new ones in this book that nobody has heard before. So it'll be fun.
Well, most writers tend to have personal experiences that, you know, tend to influence them to write. Did you have any personal spiritual experiences or adventures that taught you or kind of leaned you towards writing this?
Well, the adventures that I've had, and there are many of them that are in the book, were really about helping me to help the ascension process, and the book is a part of that, so I've added them to the book to help explain things. And as I was asking tonight, I was saying, you know, what stories should I share? Because there are so many. There was a couple of them that came to mind, and those of you who are familiar with my work may have heard elements of this first one before. However, it bears telling again, because the whales on the planet are a life form that is very intimately related to the source of life, very much involved in the evolution of life. We call them the weavers of reality, the divine beings. And whales are an incarnation of divine being that have helped to weave the structure of reality to provide us with what I call the old world experiences, which was the journey of separating out of unity to become individual facets of God and build the soul muscles and strengths and capacities of body and mind and spirit and world that are needed. Now they're very involved in sort of unweaving that old world experience of separation and fear and judgment and, you know, one-upmanship and all the things that go with that old world experience, and recreating life in a new way, weaving what we call the new world experience, which is giving us the structure that we need to experience this greater unity as well as individuality that we are destined to know in this next phase of our evolution. And so when I had been gifted with a trip to Hawaii quite a few years ago, I meditated asking if the whales would come meet me if I took a whale watching tour. And I, at that time, encountered a whale eye to eye, like the gigantic eye of the whale right in front of me. And it reassured me that, yes, they would show up if we came. And I was very excited because I knew that they were very special, but I hadn't really begun to understand them yet the way that I do now. And so that first trip to Hawaii, I met quite a few whales. I learned a lot about them. I was just thrilled to be with them. And following that trip, I had done a lot of meditating with the whales to harvest the information that I had experienced that day on the boat and to learn more. And they began to teach me about the divine beings, the weaving of reality, and how I could help people in my healing sessions to not only heal themselves, but to work with the collective consciousness that has built our experience and the unweaving of the old world and the reweaving of the new world. They began to teach me about that, and they led me to begin working with my graduates of the Healer Development Program, which we now call the Healer and Ascension Certification Course, to guide them to access higher levels of their soul and to begin cooperating with God and the divine beings and the archangels and ascended masters to facilitate that process in their own life and for others. And so this became a really central part of my experience. And 2 years later, I was gifted again with another trip to Hawaii. My future in-laws live there. And we went back, and that year there were very few whales in Honolulu Bay. In fact, the whale crews that we had used before said that, you know, they'd only seen whales once or twice on their tours in the bay. And so I again asked, and I was reassured that, yes, they would come and that we should go. So we went again, this huge ship, you know, we're going through the bay, no whales, no whales, no whales. Finally, they started turning away from the bay and went several miles out into the water, and I was blessed to see the first spouting whale quite a ways off, and I called it out, and they verified it, the naturalists verified it, and so we were heading out. It was about 6 miles away from us, and it seemed like it was a long time to get there, and I was thinking, you know, maybe we weren't going to see it, when I looked up and I saw a cloud that was shaped exactly like a leaping humpback whale. These are humpback whales. And it was like, I'm coming, I'm coming. I heard this, I'm coming. And a little while later, we saw it spout, and it came to us, and it was a young male humpback whale. And this male just put on a show for us. He was our buddy. He swam with us from all the way back to Honolulu Bay. He leapt out of the water in that beautiful arcing leap that they do once every 4 minutes instead of the expected every 20 minutes. And I felt very, very blessed, as did we all. And finally I had to go in to eat the meal that we had paid for. And as I did, the whale jumped right by the window to the food line, and then I went and sat down. I had my, on the opposite side of the boat, I had my back to the window, and my fiancé said, Eve, turn around, and the whale was right outside my window, leaping, and just like, hello, you know, where did you go? I was like, did you come over here just to say hi to me? I was like, can't believe you swam under the boat and came over here. And it's like, yeah, you know, you've asked us to come, we're here. And so it was really a beautiful thing. And again, after that trip, I spent more time, you know, getting to know the whales and learning from them. And they really have passed on to me the responsibility for helping with the ascension process. And to me, a part of helping about that is helping people to have confidence and faith that while we are going through this sort of dark night in the world, and things are hard, to remember that just like winter solstice, the light is already returning, that the world is being reborn, and that, you know, every birth is messy. It's painful, it's hard, and it's messy. But when you're done, you have a miracle, you have a new life. And so if you think of that with a child or any birth of a creature, think of it for the planet, and we know that, you know, this is not all a smooth journey, but as a woodpecker came to my window the other morning, I was on the toilet, he came to the window and looked in the window, I'm like, I heard him, I thought he'd hit the window, but he was pecking on it, a flicker, they're a big woodpecker, and I'm like, hi, are you trying to tell me something? And he said, yeah, it's going to be a bumpy ride, but have fun. And it was like, I thought at the time he was talking about this winter solstice, because I don't know if you know, but there's a big astrological transit going on right now, which is Uranus is sitting on planet Earth right now and has been for this winter solstice, which is the force of change. Uranus is change. And it's like, as my astrologer friend said, you know, this is the one that makes you feel alternately mad and sad, but its job is to help you to see what needs to be released and what needs to be reborn. And it's a gift. And so I just, you know, I feel so blessed to understand what I do, and if I can help people, especially, you know, my concern has been young people in the world, you know, to have faith in the process of life, but everybody, you know, not just young people, that's my purpose in getting this book out, that we need to have confidence.
That is a beautiful story, and what an awesome experience to be able to see that. I mean, that's not something that everybody gets to experience or enjoy, so that's wonderful.
Yeah, I know. Telepathy is a really wonderful gift, the ability to talk to all people without having to speak the same language, animal people and human people, and people who aren't right where you are and can't hear you audially. And that's one of the gifts that is being born as we ascend, is the ability to communicate telepathically. And so it's something everybody can practice, you know. It's like, so an animal shows up, or, you know, you feel like there's a message coming to you. What is it? And pay attention, because the way that information comes to you is a telepathic experience. It doesn't always sound like words. It's like a more holographic experience than that. It's more like an aha inside, like a dream. You know, you don't know what it means, and you sit with it for a bit, and all of a sudden you go, oh, that's what it was telling me. Telepathy is a similar process. So
yes, and I have heard that before. You know, I just want to go back to your book a little bit. You know, you've talked about ascension, and you know that it's occurring for both us as humans and the planet itself. You know, one of the things that I would love for you to talk about with the listeners is that, you know, there has been so many things that are difficult or hard to process that have happened in recent years. You know, a lot of natural disasters, a lot of different things. The Earth is evolving. You know, why do you believe that we've gone through so many difficult things up till this point?
Yeah, it's one of those great mysteries, you know, that as a healer, you know, people come to me and they have everybody has their difficult parts, you know, none of us sort of get through life without having to work at it. And the way that it's been explained to me in a simple form, and of course in the book I'm going to explain it with a lot more historical basis and particulars, and, you know, I don't want to spoil the whole story, but when we are looking at what we've been doing, the simple explanation is that the oppositional forces of life have been causing us to build soul muscles and capacities that we needed, that without the oppositional energies, we would kind of just stay comfortable where we are, but that it's sort of like a workout gym, that if God in me, who created me, that facet of the oneness, whatever name you want to call it, the all that is, said, you know, Eve needs to be able to understand other people's suffering, so we will give her a certain amount of suffering that will help her as a healer, you know, to develop my healing muscles. And I've had a lot of it in my life. And as I've worked through it and I've worked with other peoples, I've gone, you know, oh, look at that. I could not do what I need to do if I hadn't gone through those things. And so in the old world, because our goal was separation from oneness, and we weren't really able to access that true intelligence consciously once we had incarnated, we were pretty much stuck, you know, in a very limited state of consciousness for much of our evolutionary process up to this time. The oppositional force of life has been that which has made us grow. And I think to the degree that people have increasingly been able to listen to their truth within, that we've been able to find our way through things more easily. But that as we are ascending and coming into a place where that unity can live within our bodies and souls, there is a easier flow of communication and agreement, or what we call co-creation, that happens between our incarnated self and our eternal spirit and the greater cosmos and purpose of life, that we don't have to get so stuck in those hard places and beat our heads against those walls as much. We can begin to grow in ways that are more joyful and have more fun. But the old world experience was very, very limited for a long time, and people were fumbling in the dark, and the circumstances of life built soul qualities and muscles that were needed. And now, as we are ascending, we are harvesting the gifts of those many lifetimes and many experiences. We're able to sort of pick the fruits of all those different lifetimes and bring to focus in our current soul, as it expands into a greater unity, all those gifts that we need to be able to provide that vehicle that our individual facet of God requires to self-actualize, to fulfill its purpose. And so that's a simple explanation, but it's probably the best I can do in this context.
No, that was a beautiful explanation, and I'm glad that you were able to share that with the listeners out there. I don't know if this is a valid question, but this is just one that kind of came to mind, as I've been hearing you talk. You talked about, that we kind of went through an individual process of learning. Why do you feel at this point in time that now is a good time for ascension, that we are now moving into maybe a new direction or a new evolution on planet Earth?
How shall I say this? This was always the goal. And by 2012, which was predicted as the end of the world in the Mayan calendar, and also in other, spiritual predictions, that there was going to be a shift. They called it the end of the world or the end of time. And it was the time at which this was going to happen one way or the other. Back in the day when Nostradamus was predicting these changes, and when John in the Bible was predicting the revelations of the changes that would be happening at the end of time, there was expected to be a great deal of trauma. It was expected to be very, very difficult. However, we've been blessed that people have been waking up. And as people have been waking up, they have been bringing other people along with them. And that humanity has risen in vibration hugely in the last 250 years. And it's exponential. Each time there is a shift in consciousness, everybody else moves faster, and next time it's even a greater shift. And so it was going to happen one way or the other, and fortunately, not unfortunately, but very fortunately at this time, it is happening with a lot less trauma and stress than was predicted. Saint Germain predicts that it's about 70% to 80% easier than it probably could have been at this time, and will continue to be an easier shift than it was predicted. So it was just time, There's an alarm clock that goes off inside of a soul when it's time to ascend. And not everybody has had that alarm clock go off yet. However, it will go off for everybody in the right time. and enough people have risen in vibration and shifted and opened up to their truth, and enough people are working to facilitate the healing and the ascension in the world and in the universe, that it's going along really well. But it wasn't an option. We weren't going to be allowed to forever, you know, muck around in the swamp. The ascension was an inevitability. And some think it might have taken off back in the 1800s. Rudolf Steiner felt that it would at that time. And he saw the advent of World War II and the German influence of the Nazis at that time as being sort of a failure in that evolution. I quote Rudolf Steiner a lot in the book. He wrote some beautiful, beautiful verses called The Calendar of the Soul. And I love him and his work greatly. But when I look at it, I don't see it as a mistake. I see it as, okay, you've shifted and you've learned and you've grown stronger. Now, how are you going to respond to this opposition? Because this is going to make you even stronger and better than you've been before. And so, you know, but 2012 was kind of the, you know, the date by which it was going to happen one way or the other.
Well,
that's my understanding of it.
Well, I think that's a beautiful understanding, and it definitely makes sense, you know, based on a lot of philosophy and a lot of predictions. So I'm totally on the same page with you, and I'm glad that you were able to answer that and explain that. I appreciate it. One of the things that I usually tell people is it's almost like people are taking the blindfolds off, you know. People are, you know, seeing things differently, they're opening up to their awareness more. But I like your analogy of the alarm clock. That's your analogy for it as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I like it because it helps you to understand why not everybody is, you know. I think that as we wake up, we look around us and we say, well, what's the matter with you? You know, why are you still playing those old roles and, you know, running those old numbers on everybody? And it's like, well, because it has to happen this way. You know, a seed does not go from being a seed to being an oak tree in a flash. It has a number of stages. It starts out getting soft in the soil. It gets moistened. It, you know, begins to sprout, but it's still under the ground. And, you know, eventually it's guided to move up towards the light, and it breaks soil, and it's out there, but it's still just a tiny little plant. You can't even tell what it is yet. You know, it's so small. And, you know, it keeps growing and growing, and then before you know it, it's like, oh, it has a leaf. I can recognize it. That's an oak leaf, you know, but it's still a baby. You know, it has to keep growing. And you know, we are a generation of, you know, instant gratification. You know, we grew up with that idea of, well, if it's going to happen, it's happening now, you know. And it is happening now, but it's happening now and now and now and now. It's not just an event. It's a journey, and that's a joy, and it's going to be a really long journey. But at a certain point, and I'm going to say that as of 20 to 30 years from now, we're going to feel like, wow, you know, we know what we are. We're an oak tree, you know. We are strong enough now to begin really bringing light into the world and growing this new experience across the board, not just, you know, a few here and there, that it will be 95% of the population on the planet will be participating in the process of the new world by that time. So that's the really good news. You know, I had a another vision that I wanted to share with you. It was one that I was told to share today. And again, some of you may have heard this before. These are some of the sort of groundbreaking and foundational visions that I've had. But it was several years ago. I was jogging on my little exercise trampoline in the backyard in November, and all the, you know, leaves were down and the fruit had fallen and the flowers were gone, but there was in the ground cover of my lamium, which is a tiny little, has a tiny little flower, there were still tiny little flowers. You know, they're like, oh, quarter inch wide, maybe a third of an inch, you know, in diameter, tiny little flowers. They were still blooming and looking really pretty. And so I spoke to them. And I said, thank you for being a part of my life and being in my yard and, you know, making the world more beautiful. And as I finished talking to this flower, its energy field bloomed and expanded into, it was as big as my house and endlessly big, but, you know, as big as a house at least. And I was like, wow, is that just the lamium, you know? You've got a really big spirit. And it was the spirit of the Mother Earth. It was Gaia. And she said to me that, Eve, we know that you worry about the animals, that they are having a hard time, the polar bears and, you know, the life forms on the planet, that they're struggling, and that with the earth changes that are happening, you worry about them, that they don't have what they need. But we want you to know that all life forms on planet Earth will be reborn in the new world, that if you see them disappear or become extinct or have great difficulty, that's their old world self is going to pass away, but their new world self will be born on the higher level, and that all life forms will be present in the new world. And I was so happy I started crying, you know. It's like, oh, you're right, I get so worried about it, you know, and I want to fix it, I want to make it better. And it was interesting because when I met that young whale that came to meet me on the second whale tour, he said, I asked him about it because I said, where are all the whales, you know? Why aren't they in Honolulu Bay? And he said, well, don't worry, because we are being reborn into the new world. We are going to be able to survive these changes. And I am one of the new world whales. That's why I'm here talking to you. And after I leave here, I'm going to go off to another whale watching tour and encourage them, because everybody needs to know that it's going to be just fine. And so I wanted to share that with you, because we all know that this is a hard time for the natural world, and just to know that everybody's going to be okay.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and that really truly is a inspiration and a beautiful vision to share, especially because I know that there is a lot of people out there that are worried about the animals and so forth, myself included. I have a very hard time watching commercials where, you know, it's save the tigers, save the whales, save the polar bears.
I know. It's like, can we save them all? You know, and with the water rising and the poles melting, you know, it's like I talk to God about it sometimes. I'm like, so, you know, what's happening? What's the point? You know, sometimes it feels like it's global freezing instead of global warming. You know, it's like, what's going on? But it's going to be different, but it's going to, I believe that the challenges that we are undergoing during this transition is going to give us an opportunity to learn to co-create with God in ourselves and in all life forms on higher and higher levels, so that as things get more sort of dire in the outer sense, on the inner sense, there will be an increasing level of enlightenment, which will be our guiding light. It will be our sort of, you know, saving grace that we will know what to do. And all the creatures and all the people who do not ascend in their current body, that their body, you know, we have this chance that our bodies are learning how to ascend back into unity with God so that we don't have to die, but that where life forms are still dying, that we are all eternal. We're all safe, and we're all unbreakable. Our spirit is who we really are. That while we love the life forms greatly, and we love the bodies, the humans, the animals, the plants, that the way that they are now, that there's a certain amount of letting go so that those same beings can be reborn into the new world bodies. So we all have that opportunity and that choice. Will we say, okay, let's just let go of this old world body and start over fresh with a higher vibration? Because each generation comes in with a higher vibration body and soul energy. And so we have been ascending for quite some time. As I said, since the 1800s, we've been moving up in vibration already. So sometimes when somebody leaves, it's like, okay, that's fine. You're going to have a better time next time. And some people are actually going to be shifting out of our world into other worlds. There are many worlds, and they're all in the evolutionary process. Some of them are ascending and some of them are not, but ultimately they all will. And so there's just all kinds of transitions that are happening, which give us opportunities to experience this change in different ways. But it makes me really glad to know that nobody is going away forever. Everybody's just going away for a little while. And as we ascend, we're also more in touch with everything in spirit. So even people that we love that aren't here with us, it'll be easier. It's getting easier and easier for us to recognize their presence and to communicate with them wherever they are, so that, we don't want to hold people back by saying, no, you have to stay. It's like, okay, you have to do what you need to do. But I know that you and I are always and eternally connected, and that our love doesn't go away just because the physical body has changed.
Yes, I definitely agree with you on that point. I do notice that we're getting down to almost the last 10 minutes of our show this evening, and honestly, I could talk to you for hours.
Me too.
I feel like I definitely will have to talk to you again in the future and maybe have you back on here. I feel very privileged to be able to hear you speak and to share some of your experiences and your knowledge with all of us. But, you are coming out with this book, Riding the Wave of Change, Hope, Healing, and Spiritual Growth for Our World. Do you have a publishing date or an expected time period where the book will be out and available?
I don't have a date yet, but what you can do is, if you aren't already on my email list for the weekly Word for Healing and Ascension, which is weekly support and updates and messages and information and insights about the process we're undergoing, that comes out every Friday and with an email link to the blog. It's a blog. If you're not already on that, you can get on that and be one of the people who, the first people who order the book. I will definitely send you a signed copy, and we can, reserve in advance if you're interested, and I'll definitely keep you up to date on when it's going to be coming out. And the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide will definitely have that information as well. I know that it's this year. I don't know exactly when yet, but it'll probably be, I'm thinking, somewhere past the middle of the year, the last quarter of the year.
Well, we as a
guest, maybe.
Well, we at the Guide will definitely be looking forward to that and being able to sit down and read that. that will definitely be a privilege in itself. So definitely keep us in mind at the Guide.
Thank you. I will. And, you know, actually, it may be as soon as summertime. I'm thinking, by midsummer, between midsummer and September, that's sort of the range that I'm aiming at. Could be earlier. You know, it's like birthing a baby. You know, you have these projected dates, but, you know, you just have to go through all the birth process. So, fortunately, I know that it will be born, and it's already almost done. It's just waiting to see how the last piece sort of comes to focus, and it's almost there. So,
well, it'd be definitely interesting if you happen to bring it out around midsummer, because midsummer is the opposite of the winter solstice. So
that's right. That's right. It's true. Good point. I'm looking forward to finding out, you know, exactly when it's going to be too. So thanks for keeping an eye out on things and for letting me talk about this journey and share it with you. And thanks to everybody who's here listening tonight and who'll probably get to listen, you know, after the fact on the website, because they can listen anytime, can't they, Courtney?
Well, before we ended the show, because we do have a few minutes left, I was going to ask you to talk about your healings a little bit, and you know, what type of healing modality you offer, and a little bit about that, just for the listeners who may be interested in connecting to you about that.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Courtney. I'm going to take a little sip here. So what I do is spiritual healing, and so what I do is I access your eternal spiritual self and try to invite that higher self to direct me to the places where whatever it is that you're finding challenge with have their root, and looking at that and understanding what its purpose is and what it is that you have accomplished so far with that, and whether you still need it or if you don't need it anymore, if we can just completely let it go, or if we can let it go in a process that, you know, it allows you to continue learning, it becomes easier and less difficult. As we look at all of the challenges as elements in your soul's contractual evolutionary process. And so we work with physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, you know, financial, social relationship, work with adults, children, pets, families, couples. And so I have a gift of seeing why things are a problem, which is important, because if you just want to eliminate the problem but you don't address the why it's there, then you may or may not have success with eliminating it, but it will come back either in that way or in another form if you still need it. So rather, we like to work with your soul's purpose, and I work outside of time with people, so sometimes I go back to a past lifetime and help them learn what they needed there so that what's bothering them now can go away. or into childhood and help them there. And I also do a lot of empowerment with people. You know, okay, you have the ability to work with this. You have the ability to make this choice. How can I help you to be aligned with your truth so that this happens easily for you, so that you get what you need out of it? And in working this way, through individuals and families and the soul groups that they've come in to learn certain things with, we get really profound and lasting change and healing. And we also help souls to grow and to learn from their experience. So there's a lot of enlightening, and there's relief and there's healing and there's empowerment. And it happens across lifetimes, which means, you know, if you heal that in the past, then you feel so much more relief now, and it's like you already knew it for a long time. And so I know that sounds probably vague. I didn't say, oh, I'll touch you here, or I'll give you that. You know, it's a very individual process. And I used to do hands-on work. I used to do sound healing. I used to do crystal healing. I used to do all kinds of more physical modalities. But what I have found is that connecting people directly with their higher self and God allows them to get the most out of their life and out of their healing. Less of me and more of them, because each one of you is a facet of that one, and within you is the power and the potential that you need. So my job is to help people to own that and to do it easily and efficiently and in a fun way. I usually, you know, it's a journey.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and I do hope that some of our listeners do contact you about working with you. Your energy just feels wonderful, and I'm only just talking to you, so.
Thank you.
What it means like in person.
Thank you. Yeah, and I work in person. I also work by phone, and I work by Skype, or just telepathically. So, you know, I'm in Ann Arbor. You don't have to come to Ann Arbor, but you're welcome to. You know, also, please visit my website, spiritualhealers.com, and there are so many testimonials on there about healings. You know, it'll give you a feeling for just how effective this healing work is.
Wonderful, and I highly recommend, you know, our listeners visit the website and definitely contact you. Is there any final words you would like to leave us with on this solstice day?
Come and play with me. Come take a class, do a healing. But most importantly, enjoy the light within you and know that you are connected to an eternal truth that will not ever, ever go away, that you'll never have more than you can handle or more than you need for your soul's evolution, and that whatever it is that's challenging is temporary. The love and the wisdom and the truth is eternal, and the ascension process is a process of grace. The higher we go, the more change happens without a cost. It doesn't exact a cost. It's simply by the power of unconditional love and forgiveness and grace. So, you know, remember that and have faith in yourself and come play with me sometime. I'd love to meet you. Thank you, Courtney.
Well, thank you so much for joining me this evening and giving me the opportunity to speak with you and interview you. It was wonderful and definitely a great experience, especially before Christmas and the New Year. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Courtney. It's really fun to be with you and get to know you a little bit, too, and I look forward to future conversations.
Well, same here. I want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too, and everybody else. Blessings on this wonderful holiday.
Well, thank you so much. And if you're listening live right now, you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and In Touch Interviews. And I just had the wonderful opportunity to interview Eve Wilson. If you would like to connect with Eve, I would recommend you visit www.spiritualhealers.com, or you can even email her at evew@spiritualhealers.com. We do have a few more shows before the end of the year. I know 2015 is upon us and it's coming very, very quickly. Tomorrow we have Accepted As I Am with Barbara White at 10 a.m. And we also have We Get Results tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. And both this Wednesday and next Wednesday, we have Today's Inspiration with Lisa Berry. So please stay tuned for those shows. And thank you so much for listening this evening. Thank you, Eve, so much for being part of the show. And we want to wish everyone, on behalf of the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide staff and radio, a very Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful night.